message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah. Tonight, we're going to be looking at the topic titled New Identity via Divine Encounter. New Identity through Divine Encounter. New Identity through Divine Encounter. Hallelujah. Yesterday, Papa began this New Identity series and he gave us a definition. And I took a few of them. He said that identity means what God says or what God is saying about you. Identity means what God says or what God is saying about you. And he also says that it also means what you say about yourself. It also means what you say about yourself. Now, God has a very good plan for every one of us. For every of his children, God has a good plan. Because he's our father. And there is no father that would wish his child bad. So it means that God has a good plan for everybody. God has a good plan for everybody. Because he says that he already knew you before you were born. He knew the plan he had for you even before you were born. While you were in the womb of your mother, he knew the plans that he had for you. Now, God already has a plan for you. It all depends on if you want that plan or if you don't want that plan. The plan is already there. As a child of God, there are things that you should be and there are things that you should not be. But being those things depends on you. God has already settled those things. All that remains for you is just for you to claim those things. So it now depends on you. If you want those things or if you do not want those things. Now, I want to ask a question tonight. Please, who do we think we are? Who are we? Please just look to your left or to your right, look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor, who are you? Please ask the person again, who are you? Please, you are also going to reply that person. So just keep looking at the person. Say, who are you? Then reply that person, I am the body of Christ. I am the body of Christ. I am a chosen generation. Please, I hope you are saying that. I am a chosen generation. I am a royal priesthood. I am God's image. I am God's image. I am God's workmanship. I am God's workmanship. You see, there are so many things. There are so many identities that God has for us in this world. So many things that we are supposed to be as Christians, but many times we don't know. You know, many times I look at the cow, and in my mind they say cows are very foolish. Because if I had such strength as a cow, no man lamb would be able to flog me and move me about anyhow. If he tries it, I would just use one of my horns to just, you know, give him. But the cows are so foolish because they don't even know who they are. They just beat them power and they just begin to move like as if they are foolish. Because they do not know who they are. If you mistakenly put a man's brain into a cow's brain, you see how cows begin to manifest. Why? Because they will not realize. They will realize that, wow, so I have this much energy and I've been wasting it all this while listening to this malam that I can knock out with just one punch. Hallelujah. So the Bible contains a lot of things that we are meant to be. All we have to do is just look for it in the Bible. Now, an encounter means when you meet something. When you meet with something, that is an encounter. Now, an encounter always leaves you with something. It either leaves you better than the way it met you, or it leaves you worse than the way it met you. Anytime I remember encounter, it takes me back to my secondary school when we're, you know, practicing for our entire sports. And I was doing a lot of sports then, and I was trying to practice for triple jump. I know triple jump, you have to take three jumps. You take the first jump, second jump, and the third jump. And I was in the hostel, I was rehearsing, trying to practice for the D-Day. And I stood on the track, then I started running with full force. I took the first jump, bam. I took the second jump, and I took the third jump. And as I was in the air, I looked down and I saw somebody there. And as I landed, Our faces just hit ourselves. Bam. Just like that. I know it looked like nothing at the time. When I knew it was very bad was when I went to school the next day. You know, I got to class and I just sat down. And people were looking at me, asking myself, please, who is that boy? And you know, I didn't even go to the clinic because I thought it was just something. I didn't look at the mirror. But when people started asking me, who is that boy? I was, it's me now, it's heavy. Oh, is it you that your face looks disfigured? You know, that was where I knew that this encounter was very, very what? Very. Hallelujah. That it was so serious. Now, the fact that this encounter made people see me and they didn't recognize me, that is a very good encounter. Yes. If you have had an encounter and people still see you and say, ah, they see you as the way they have been seeing you before, that is not a good. That is not. Is it people that are making me to laugh? That is not actually a good encounter. Although that happened in a bad way. But for it, no, your encounter is a good one. When people see you, they will not what? Recognize you again. And that's what happened to Joseph. Even his brothers, that they stayed together for many years, didn't recognize him. It means that there was a serious transformation in his life. Because there was a divine encounter in his life. So they couldn't recognize him. Because the encounter was too much. He didn't have just one mega encounter. It was a divine encounter. So he was no more recognizable. Before you can recognize him, you have to settle down and look at him very well and analyze him before you can be sure that he was actually what? Joseph. Hallelujah. So for us to be sure our encounter is a solid one, is a divine one, people will no longer recognize us because we will not be different from who we were before. Hallelujah. Now, I wrote that God wants to give us a new identity. That is what he wants for us. He wants to give us a new identity. He wants to give us a better identity. But we have to let him give us this identity. We have to let him give us this identity. Because one thing about God, God is a very gentleman. If you do not tarsi God, God will not tarsi you. That's the way God is. So if you want a new identity, you have to tarsi God so that God will do what? Tarsi you and give you a what? A new identity. So it means you have to want that identity before God can give it to you. It's not that God will just come, I must force identity on you, take it by force. No. You have to want it, then God gives it to you. Now I wrote here the next point. How to secure a new identity. How to secure a new identity. Now, we must realize that new identity is not makeup. New identity is not rubbing lipstick, putting pancake, putting eyebrow, then you now look different from the way you were looking before. That is not new identity. New identity is not putting on new clothes and looking different, wearing new suits, wearing new shoes, wearing new tie, or putting on shade. That is not what? New identity. You only change the makeup or change the clothes. But that's not identity. So now, this identity we're talking about, how do we secure a new identity? Number one is desperation for change. Desperation for change. Desperation for change. If you as a person don't want change, it will be difficult for somebody else to force that change on you. If your mind, you have not made up your mind that, I want a change, it will be very difficult for somebody else to make you want that change because you don't want it. So how can somebody now put that change on you? Just like saying, you don't want to eat. Or there's a particular kind of food that you don't like. You don't like this food. And ever since you've been 1 year old, you've never eaten that food. And right now, you are 55 years old. And since that 1 year old to 55 years, you have never eaten that food because you ate that food so much. And somebody just come and meet you and just tells you, hello, eat that food. I know he didn't force you, just trying to convince you, please eat that food. Please eat that food. You know, it's very difficult for you to convince that person because in that person's heart, He doesn't like that food. And he doesn't want to eat that food. And for the past 54 years of his life, his mind has been made up that he doesn't want to eat that food. So it means it will be difficult for you to convince that person to eat that food. That's the way it changes. If your mind, you have decided that where I am now is where I'm supposed to be, there's nothing in this world that can make me leave this position. That's exactly where you will be. I know someone that is that our situation is too bad, that this situation that is so worse that nothing can solve it. And I ask the person why. The person will say it is because that this problem is a foundational problem. And that problem, the foundation is already spoiled. So it has already spoiled, so there's no need of her to even try anything again. But that's a lie. Whether it is foundational or, I don't know if it's internal or roofational, whether it's from the foundation or it's from the roof, God can still alter that what situation. Now we'll be looking at the story of Jacob. Jacob in Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32. We're reading from verse 28. Okay, let me start from verse 23. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. That's verse 24. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now verse 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, verse 28, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Now you can see Jacob's identity was changed there from Jacob to Israel. He was changed from a supplanter to a prevailer. Initially, he was a supplanter, but after that encounter, he became a prevailer. It means every situation that came away, he was just prevailing. That is an example of a divine encounter that brought about a new identity. Hallelujah. Also, we all know the story of Anna. Anna was very desperate. She wanted a child. And she was desperate about it. And she prayed in Shiloh. And God changed identity from a barren woman to a mother. You know, I'm sure many people have called her, this woman, you are too barren, you are this, you are that, you can never give birth. But she knew that was not her portion. She knew her identity. That was why she was desperate. You know, when you don't know you are supposed to have something, you will not be desperate. When you are still doubting, this thing I'm not sure is my own, you won't be desperate. If your granddad or your dad that is very old is about to die, and he tells you that, my son, I have a will with my lawyer, and in that will I left 32 million naira for you. Please, if you go to the lawyer the first day and the lawyer say, come back, are you going to go back? Of course you will go back, because you are sure that your father told you he left 32 million for you, and you know 32 million is there. So nothing that lawyer will tell you will make you give up. He say, lie, this 32 million, I must get it. So that means it gives you a form of encouragement. You are so eager that I must get this thing. Hallelujah. You are so desperate that what? I must get it. Because you are sure that something is there. So once you know your identity, the next step is that it spurs you to be desperate to get it. Because you know that you are meant to have it. It is when you don't know you are meant to have it. That is when you are just pray. Lord, please, just give me. Because you are not sure that it's meant to be yours. But when you are sure that it is yours, you fight for it. And you are desperate for it. Hallelujah. Number two, how to secure a new identity. Number two, how to secure a new identity is violent prayers. Violent prayers. Violent prayers. Now, desperation always leads to violent prayers. They are linked together. It is your desperation that spurs you up to want to pray violently, because you know that there's something that you want. Like Paul used to say, it's either you are chasing something or something is chasing you. So either way, you need prayers. You are either praying for something that you are waiting for, or you are praying for those things that are chasing you, not to meet up with you. Hallelujah. So either way, you need desperate prayers. Hallelujah. Also, you can look at the story of Anna. Also, Anna was someone that prayed desperately to God because she needed a new identity. To the extent that even the pastor that was there was like, is this woman drunk? Because her desperation was of the highest order. So the man was surprised that this woman was wrong with her. She looks drunk. Why? Because I'm sure he must have been a pastor for many years, but he had never seen that kind of desperation before. Because if he had seen it before, he wouldn't think that she was drunk. He would say, okay, I've seen people like that. Maybe she was praying. But she took her desperation to a new height. That was why when he saw her, it was like, this woman must be drunk. Hallelujah. She prayed violently. So violently that that point, God met her through the pastor. And immediately in chapter 2, in Esther 1, she was barren. And Esther 2, she was already a mother. Her identity was changed via violent prayers. Also, we know the story of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, God already stamped it that Hezekiah is a dead man, that he is supposed to die. In other words, Hezekiah was on the list of those sentenced to death. He was already on that list. But, you know, Hezekiah still went to God in violent prayers. And he told God, God, I cannot die now. And you know, it was overturned. And God still added 15 years to him. Now let me tell you, this Hezekiah situation, I'm telling you, it is better to be in a shooting stand where they tie you and God is facing you. Because that one is man. But God has already said that you are going to die. I mean, I don't know what else can be more than that. But still, he still prayed violently that, God has said it though, but I can still convince God. And he went to God and he prayed violently. I'm very sure that prayer must have been very violent. Because God must have said that, if he had just prayed that, God, you know that I have been working for you, add more years to my life. Thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, maybe it's at that point that he's going to die. But he went to God violently because he knew that he could not die. Because if he knew that he would surely die, he wouldn't have wasted his time to go and pray to God again. He would just maybe go to his bed, lie down, and say, God, I know I've tried, so let me just die in peace. And maybe he would just sleep and hope that he dies in his sleep. But he knew that he could not die. He was sure that he could not die. That was why he even tried to go and meet God and say, God, I cannot die. He knew that he would get a response. That was why he went ahead to pray. And he prayed so violently that the prophet had not even gone out before God sent him back. Prophet, please go back. And go and tell this man that I've added 15 more years to his life. Now, I want to believe that decision must have been very hard for God. You know why? Because God sent his prophet to go and tell him that he will die. And God sent that same prophet again, go and tell him that he will not die. You know, it will somehow make that prophet look somehow. But because that prayer was so violent, God just had to make an exemption. And just say, I beg, prophet, please just go back. And I mentioned that prophet that said, but God, you told me I should go and tell him now. God, just go, please. This man has prayed violently. So it means that it was his violent, not just his prayers, his violence that made him have more years. Not just his prayers. It was his violence and desperation that made God to overturn that death sentence. Say, okay, I add 15 more years to your life. Hallelujah. Number 3, how to secure a new identity. How to secure a new identity is total obedience. Total obedience. Total obedience. Now we know that Christianity is about obedience. You obey, God does this. You do this, God does this. You do your part, God does his part. You do your part, God does his part. Hallelujah. So when you have total obedience, definitely the new identity is going to come. Now looking at the story of Abraham. Abraham was a man that was an obedient man. He was obedient to the call would be an understatement. He was just too obedient. You know, many times when we read the Bible, it's very easy for us to see that Abraham left his house and just went somewhere. Very easy. Because he had already done it. Abraham, God said, live here. And he just took all his things, all his belongings, took his family, and he just left. Just wandering to where God has not even told him to go. He was just walking. You know, that is not something that is very easy. But Abraham didn't even question God. God just said, leave there now. He said, okay, God, I've heard. He just stood up and started going. Without ever trying to question God, I'm not mad. If you are telling me to go somewhere, where exactly am I going to? Is that place profitable? Will I make money there? Is the place fine? Does the place have good electricity? Is there good network there? Is there this? Is there that? But he didn't bother about all those things. He just started moving. As God said, move, immediately he moved. Also, when God told him to sacrifice his only son that he has spent so many years waiting for, he did not hesitate. He didn't even think about that. God, but why? You gave me this son. Why then do you want him back? He didn't hesitate. He was willing to kill the son because he was so sure that even if God takes this one, God can give him 2 billion more. So why hold that one from God? Why not give God and be sure that you receive 2 billion than to hold that one? And if by mistake, if he had not given that son to God, and maybe something happened, that son dies now, he may never get another child again. But because he was obedient, I'm very sure that even if that son was supposed to die, it has been written, God will change that. He said, for this man to have been willing to give me this son, if he was supposed to die before, he won't even die again, as long as this man is living. Why? Because Abraham was totally obedient. Also, we'll look at the story of the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings. 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. I'll read from verse 8. Now, and the word of God came unto him, saying, that's Elijah, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Let me go to verse 11. Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, please notice that she didn't ask, why should I fetch it for you? Immediately she was going to fetch it. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cost of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. This was a woman that was lacking before. In fact, it was the last meal that she had that she was about to consume. She wanted to consume it and just wait. Oh yeah, anything that happens now. And wait for she and her son to starve to death. In other words, she was poor. Let me put it that way. She was a poverty-stricken woman. That was her identity. She was a poverty-stricken woman. She was very poor. No food, no nothing. But after this encounter, which she displayed a total obedience. There was a new identity. For someone that was totally poor to someone that was now, thou now art in excess. She now had in excess. She was no more in the category of the masses. If I was to give her a category in our time, I would say maybe she would be a poetical godmother. Because she was so rich. She now had so much. Someone that was lacking before now had so much. All on the platform of total obedience. Her identity was changed. I'm very sure anybody that knew her before then and knew her after will be wondering what happened. Because she had a divine encounter, her story was changed. Also, the widow in 2 Kings chapter 4 also experienced divine encounter and changed identity via obedience. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now, let me just paraphrase because of time. The widow there, she was in debt. And she was also poor. And the prophet came to her house and told her, okay, gather all these jerrycans and start filling them with oil. And before he knew it, she gathered as many cans as she could get. You know, she didn't ask the prophet that I should gather empty jerrycan for what? There's no oil here. If he said I should pack jerrycans to an oil station, that would make sense. But he said I should bring the kegs to my house where there's no oil. How will oil come? You know, she didn't even ask him that. She just obeyed. She went to bring all the, as many as she could, she brought them. And as she brought them, because of her obedience, there was a new identity for her. She became an oil merchant because she had so much oil. And identity was changed. Hallelujah. Now, also the faithful servants in the parable of the talent, when God was giving talent. Now, the first servant that declared his talent from 5 to 10, he made it double. He was obedient. He obeyed God. And God, and when the master came, the master said that because you are faithful in small, I'll put you in charge of what? Much what? Greater things. It means it's only changed from someone that was handling small things to someone that was now handling greater things because he was obedient. The master told him, take this, go and do this. He took it and he did it. And his identity changed. Hallelujah. Also, number 4, how to secure a new identity is consistency. Consistency. Now, it's not just about praying, fasting. If you are not consistent, it might debar you from having your new identity. Now, I've noticed that so many companies that we know today, they have a big name, that once you call their name, you know them. It's because over the years, they have been consistent. That's why you know them. This company, once you call their name, oh, I know this company. They are known for doing this. Once you call this, oh, I know this company, they are known for doing this. Why? Because they had been consistent. If they had not been consistent in what they were doing, I'm telling you, you will never know them. After, there are so many companies that we don't even know about. Why? Because they started, they were not consistent, and they died down. So one way of ensuring that we get this divine and this new identity is to be consistent in what we are doing. That's why we say we should not be tired in doing good works, in doing good things. Why? Because consistency is one of the ways by which you can get that new what? Identity. So for you to get that new identity, you have to be what? You have to be consistent. Now, Abraham was obedient, but I want to tell us that consistency was also part of the things that made him to get his new identity. He was also consistent in the Lord. That was why he also got his new identity. You know, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. Genesis 12, verse 2. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. It says, now God was speaking to Abraham here, and in verse 2 he said, I will make thee a great nation. His name was T. Abraham. I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Thou shalt be a blessing. Now in Genesis 17, where his name was changed. Let's look at it from verse 4. Now, verse 4. Okay, let me start from verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I want to tell us that Abram must have been consistent in these two things. He must have been walking before the Lord and he must have been perfect consistently. That was why in verse 2, things began to happen. And the Lord said, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. Verse 3, and Abraham fell on his face. He continued to verse 4. As for me, behold, and verse 5, I'm not trying to read. Okay, verse 4, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abraham, but thy name shall be called Abraham. I'm telling you, this was the point of Abraham's new identity. Before, he was meant to be father of nations. But after that encounter, he was now Abraham. That is, his nations were now many. Father of what? Of many nations. God was going to make him father of nations because he was bearing Abraham, which was, I think, exalted father, what it means. But Abraham is father of nations. So at this point, God changed his identity to a father of nations because he was consistent in doing good. He was consistent in seeking the Lord. He was consistent in serving the Lord. And God gave him a new identity. Now, we must know that new identity doesn't come automatically. We have to want the new identity. Now, I don't know the kind of new identity that you want, but the kind of identity that I want is the one that when you see me tomorrow, you will not recognize me. Not the type I had in secondary school anyway. I'm talking about an identity whereby when people see you, people will be aghast that, wow, what sort of transformation is this? This man, I knew him yesterday, he had nothing. And all of a sudden, look at him, he's looking so blessed, he's looking so happy, he's now happily married, he's now this, he's now that, he's now this. That's the kind of identity that God wants for us. Hallelujah. Now, I'm very sure that everybody here wants new identity. Or let me speak for myself. I'm very sure that I want a new identity. Now, if we are here and we all want a new identity, please, can we just jump on our feet and begin to appreciate the name of the Lord? Let's give him all the glory because he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega. It's the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. Please, before we go into prayers, please, you know, we said that if you are sure you are supposed to get something, it will show in your desperation. Now, depending on the identity that you want, if you want a new divine identity, the way you pray will just show it. The way you pray will show the kind of identity that you want. So before we ask God for anything tonight, let's lift up our voice once again and thank him because he deserves all the glory. He deserves all the... Let us thank him. Let us give him all the glory. Oh, Father, Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, we say, be thou exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, we give you all the glory. Oh, Lord, we say, be thou exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, Lord, we magnify your holy name. Oh, Lord, we give you all the glory. Oh, Father, Lord, we say, be thou exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, Lord, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. If you thank God casually and you now ask God for new identity violently, it's a waste of time. Because the prerequisite for asking for that identity, you've not even passed it. So how can you now get new identity? We are thanking God and we are just, you know, thanking him anyhow. But when it's time to ask, you see us turning our head and shaking our head. You know, this is the prerequisite for asking. If you don't thank him very well, then don't even bother asking. So please, once again, for those people that need that new identity and want to ask God tonight, please thank him again. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Father, Lord, we give you all the glory. Father, Lord, we say, be thou exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, we say to you alone be all the glory. Father Lord, we thank you, Lord. Father Lord, we just give you all the glory. Oh Lord, we say your name alone be glorified. Father Lord, we worship you, Lord. Oh Lord, we magnify your holy name. Lord, we say be thou exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Father Lord, we say thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, we worship your holy name. Oh Father Lord, we give you all the glory. Oh Lord, we say be thou exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, for all that you've done for us, Lord, we say be thou exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, for provision, Lord, we say be thou exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, for sound health, Lord, we say be thou exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, for sound mind, Lord, we say be thou exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, we just thank you, Lord, we bless your holy name. Oh Lord, we say be thou exalted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. You know, sometimes there's some things in our lives that might be the one debarring us from getting this new identity. So tonight, we're going to pray that, oh Lord, oh Lord, anything in my life debarring me from accessing new identity, let them be removed tonight. Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, anything in my life, oh Lord, that is debarring me from accessing a new identity, oh Lord. Oh Lord, then be removed from my life tonight, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, anything in my life, oh Lord, debarring me from accessing this new identity. Oh Lord, then be removed from my life, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, every debarring of new identity in my life, oh Lord, and remove them by fire in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, then be removed from my life, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. You know, one sure way of getting this identity is by having divine encounter with the Almighty God. Tonight, we're going to pray out, oh Lord, oh Lord, I want to divinely encounter you tonight. Oh Lord, I want to divinely encounter you tonight. Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Oh Father Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want to divinely encounter you tonight, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, I want to have an encounter that will bring about a new identity in my life, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, I want to have a new encounter with you tonight, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, I want to encounter you tonight, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, I want to encounter you tonight, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, I want to encounter you tonight, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, I want to encounter you tonight, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, I want to encounter you tonight, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Finally, we're going to pray that, oh Lord, the kind of encounter that we'll receive tonight, the kind of encounter I'll receive tonight, let it be a kind that I've never received all days of my life that we brought us, praying in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, the kind of encounter I want to receive tonight, oh Lord, let it be a type that I've never ever received in my life before, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Father Lord, I want to receive an encounter tonight, oh Lord.
Wow, I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.